Take off Luke chapter 10. Luke 10. I forgot to bring my sweater and my tennis shoes because I'm in. Mr. Rogers is going to preach here this morning because I'm going to preach about love thy neighbor. Would you be my neighbor? Luke 10. Was that bird chirping during Sunday school?
Yes.
I tried getting him Thursday. I'm good at killing baby birds. So... not too bad. They were really going at it when they were singing. It was like it was singing with them. Really, now you hear it. Okay, Luke 10. Okay, Jesus started giving parables and stuff after the Israelites rejected him. And there's this guy who's trying to justify himself in verse 29 of Luke 10. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus answering said, okay, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So this is a Jewish priest. He saw the guy beat up, half dead, on the side. Why, when looked, you know, and he saw him, and then he walked on the other side. Okay, then the next guy, the Levite, verse 32, likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by the other side. Can you imagine that? Just sit there looking at him. And then doesn't help him. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of them. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy unto him. Then said Jesus unto him, go thou and do likewise. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I ask you to help us understand this idea. Help us realize that a neighbor is not just somebody that lives next to us, but it's somebody that we cross paths during the day, somebody that we can influence, somebody that we can help, that we can care for. Help us recognize what it is to love thy neighbor as thyself. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, the idea here is, of course, the first commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, strength, so forth. And then hopefully the outflow of that will be love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, I've been saved for a long, long time, and I've seen believers, people who claim to love God, and I've seen their mistreatment of their families and friends. It's just phenomenal how a person can justify their mistreatment, bullying, abuse of family, yet holding a Bible. And the worst ones I've seen do this are Baptist preachers through the years. I've watched this. Narcissist. My wife and I got introduced to the narcissist world about 12 years ago. And not been a fun ride, but yet we learn a lot of things because a bunch of people are narcissists. If they're a left winger way on that left side promoting this stuff, these man, you full-fledged narcissist is what they are. And then you got to learn how to deal with these people. But in the Bible, the mistreatment of family and others within a Christian community is absolutely pathetic. Watched this for years. Amazing to me. The abuse of the dissenters by pastors is a demonstration of their insecurity and their selfishness. The arrogance of control often breeds husbands to behave like cavemen with clubs. One of these knuckle draggers I'd heard gotten married, and within a week he told his wife, instead of standing, walking beside me, holding my hand, walk behind me. And that's nothing but a knuckle dragger just got out of the cave. It's an insecure individual who's a bully. And the Lord is going to hold folks like that accountable. I want to give you some ideas about that this morning. Look in Mark chapter 10. The reason why this is so prevalent is because of the mindset of Gentiles. Okay, what is the mindset of Gentiles? Okay, when a Gentile believes in leadership, when you talk about leadership, this is the mindset that most Gentiles have. Mark 10, verse 42, Jesus told them, this is what Gentiles do, this is how they think, but he said, I'm telling you, it shouldn't be this way. So verse 42, but Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. Okay, that's the mindset of Gentiles. And unfortunately, that is the mindset of many Christians, many pastors. I mean, I watched this for years. Okay? I probably worked under 2-3 narcissistic pastors. Okay? Through the years. And I've learned a lot of things, basically how not to do it. Okay, but still, this is so prevalent. And it's because that's the mindset of a Gentile. When you say the word leader to them, they're thinking you have to lord it over people. You ought to be, actually, they're a tyrant is what they are. Okay, a leader is different, a whole different thing. Now, Jesus is going to give the alternative to the apostles in verse 43. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So the Lord is giving the alternative there. Now, this idea of lordship is demonstrated completely in government entities, okay? You give somebody a badge and a costume, and they really think they're somebody. There was an Amish man out in Pennsylvania next to, close to Roy's, Uncle Roy's house. That's Janet's brother. They live in an Amish community, okay? And an Amish man had a county agent who, as usual, thinks he owns the property. And he wanted to go on the back part of the property, and the Amish man really didn't want him to go on the property. And the guy says, well, I got a badge. Whoa, you want a medal or a chest to pin it on, pal? Well, I got a badge. And the Amish man finally gave in. He said, okay, do what you think you got to do. And the guy starts walking. He said, oh, I just want to let you know, I let the bull out, you know, about, you know, this time of day. But you could show him your badge and see if that'll work for you. And the guy decided, well, I don't think I'm going to go in the back. Okay, why? Because that is the agenda. Now, our country began as the colonists and the people who formed this new government and whatnot. They wanted to avoid the tyranny of King George, and they came up with the idea, okay, here's what we're going to do. If somebody gets a political position, we're going to have them sign an oath and a bond, okay, where they are a public servant. And if they violate their bond, you could sue them on their bond, okay? And then if you call the insurance company who has the bond and say you're thinking about suing them, they'll drop the bond, and then this person really is not a legitimate official. Now, it's a very wise thing what they did, but unfortunately, things fade away, okay? And so Gentiles think, they think, that in order to be a good leader, you'll see this in sports, a superstar athlete will not have a good relationship with the other players because they're a bully. Okay, and so unfortunately, in their approach of leadership, if the leader or tyrant perceives the higher ground, they will bully and intimidate. If the leader perceives he has the lower ground, then they'll manipulate and guilt. You can see this in church history. When the Catholic Church is in the higher ground, perceives themselves to be higher ground, they will kill you as quick as anything. They'll burn you at a stake. They did that all through the Inquisition. They'll develop the Iron Maiden. The Iron Maiden is a mummy-like, coffin-like thing where you're standing up and it's got daggers inside, but the daggers are strategically place that when you're put in there, it strategically cuts the body, pierces the body, but not at an immediate death. It's a slow death when you're Protestant. That's the Catholic Church in a majority. When they perceive themselves in the minority or at the lesser part, then they will manipulate. Oh, we need to put aside our differences. We need to unite. We need to get together. You need to put aside your differences. It's all a guilt trip. Okay, now when people have this tension back and forth, anger, the emotion of anger is evidence that is someone is not simply getting their way. That's all it is. It's a two-year-old temper tantrum. Now the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrates service is the way, the proper way, to meet the needs of thy neighbor. Thy neighbor, your family, somebody that you come across, maybe somebody where you work. Okay, politics is the societal way of forcing the opinions of others upon the people. Mordecai, when he gave Haman enough rope to hang himself, when Mordecai got put in position of authority, it says that he considered the wealth and the welfare of the people rather than himself. And when the righteous are in authority, people rejoice. Okay, but sadly, that's the few in the minority. If you would look in 2 Corinthians. Now, Paul is a guy that demonstrates this. Now, Jesus Christ said, the way of the Gentiles is to lord it over you. And then Peter told the preachers or the bishops, you know, you're not to be a lord over them. So obviously it's a problem if the Bible warns about it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, now remember Paul, before he got saved, was Saul. He was a persecutor of Christians. He killed men, women, and children as a persecutor of Christians. And so when the Lord saved him, and then here is how he viewed the Lord Jesus Christ in his growth in grace. 2 Corinthians 10, 1. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Now why would the Lord do it that way? Why does the Lord Jesus not bully his way around? It's because he can't see your heart. He wants you to see your voluntarily acceptance of something. Okay, we've all seen this. If you've lived long enough, if you got some kids in a Christian school and they are boxed in these rules, okay, that's a good thing. But when they leave and they get on their own, then their heart is manifested. The Lord's looking at that. Okay, now a bully can get a church or a people to follow certain standards and convictions, and they might be right. But they're following it out of guilt, out of manipulation, out of fear. And the bully doesn't know who truly is following the Lord. They don't, because they bullied them to a position. Now, often you'll hear this when the offering time comes, where a lot of preachers will, if you don't give what you're supposed to give, God's going to curse you financially. Or, you need to give because we really need it. You know, or a missionary will put a guilt trip. I tell you, my nature is when I'll visit the churches and I hear somebody guilting us to give an offering. You know, I may have been planning on giving something, but I ain't giving a dime after I hear that guilting myself. I mean, that's just my nature. I mean, the Lord says he loveth a cheerful giver, so I'm going to be more cheerful when I don't give on something like that. Why? It's because you don't need to guilt people. Where's your faith? And so the thing is the Lord offered a biblical option to the norm. Serve. If you would, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Now the Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated a voluntary subjection to the hierarchy of life. Okay, everything has hierarchies. Animals have a hierarchy. Chickens have a pecking order. Okay, and you can do all you want when the chickens start pecking on one chicken and you can smack another chicken, they're going to go right back to it as soon as you're gone. I mean, that's just the way it is. Dogs, there's a pecking order. They don't peck on each other, but there's a bully in nature. There's always a hierarchy. The Bible lays it out this way in 1 Corinthians 11, 3. He said, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, a knuckle dragger will jump on that, and he'll throw in Ephesians chapter 5. See, dear, I'm the head. I think the head's empty. A little insecure here. But he's going to jump all over that, but yet Christ is his head. And God is Christ's head. Now, that's a hierarchy. It's everywhere you go. It's a natural thing. I don't care if you get two dykes married. There's going to be a butch and a queen. Always is. In a church, in a school out in Australia, there's a couple of dykes. They bring their kids in. You know, there's Luke and Simon, and she's the butch. I can see that. Oh, yeah, there's queen. Went to a funeral a couple years ago, and there were a pair of two male sodomites. And you can see, oh, there's the male, there's the queen. Okay, I see how that is. You know, the ones like this. Yeah. There's still hierarchy. They're not going to get away from it. That's just life. There's a hierarchy. There's a hierarchy in your home.
You've got God, Christ, man, woman, and children. That's a hierarchy. Now, in the Bible, the way the Bible teaches to do it is the one subjects himself to the hierarchy and you humble yourself to that. You see, that's what the Lord Jesus did. You see, the Lord's method, if the Lord's methods had followed voluntarily, the family will enjoy each other. Most people endure each other. You go to the sugar aisle and watch mommy endure the kid. The kid has trained her well. You see, if the Bible standard would be laid out, they would enjoy each other. Enjoying of children. When Brent was a little baby, people would tell me, enjoy your kids because they grow up fast. And I enjoyed them, but they still grew up fast. I thought I would slow down the growing process if I enjoyed them. But that's an enjoyment because there's a voluntary subjection to the hierarchy. Okay, and so the knuckle dragger is going to try to force it as a bully or a manipulator. Okay, the hierarchy is God the Father, God the Son. Now, whenever we say the Godhead, how do we always say it? Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Why do we say it that way? Why don't we say Holy Ghost, Father, Son? It's because that's how the Godhead revealed himself to man. God the Father was first. Jesus Christ shows up. Right before the Lord left, he introduced the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost glorifies the Son. The Son glorifies the Father. That's a hierarchy. Jesus Christ subjected himself to that. Not only did he subject himself to that, he subjected himself to his own earthly parents. This is the God of the universe who became flesh. Luke chapter 2, verse 51. He subjected himself to Mary and Joseph. I highly doubt that Joseph would say, Son, do what I tell you to do. I highly doubt that happened. Okay, why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's another thought. We think about this. Jesus said, the Father is greater than I, John 10. But then, he said, in John 5, 18, in John 10, 30, I and my Father are one. How can he be greater than you, but yet one? And then the Jews was going to crucify him because he made himself equal with God. And Philippians 2 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then it said, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God and subjected himself unto death, even the death of the cross. There is a hierarchy, but there is an equality. Now let's bring that to 1 Corinthians. He's the head of the woman. There's a hierarchy. There's an equality. Now, people are screaming about equality now. Oh, you don't want equality with somebody else. You're uniquely an individual. You're uniquely a sovereign. Why would you want equality? If you want equality, go to China. They're all poor. These people screaming about equal rights right now, social justice and all that, they don't want equal rights. They want special favors at your expense. That's the intention. Okay, but okay, if Jesus says the Father is greater than I, but yet they're equal, and the hierarchy is the man is the head of the woman, yet they're equal. Why? Because they're one in Christ. One in Christ. Oh, that's something to think about. Jesus Christ humbly submitted himself to the hierarchy. And the command in the Bible is for any of us to submit to the hierarchy wherever you find yourself in the hierarchy. Give you examples. If you would, look at Romans 12. The humble seeks to serve thy neighbor within the hierarchy or the role that this person sees you. Romans 12, verse 10. Paul said this. Now, when you read Romans, you got the first three chapters talking about the sinfulness of man. Then he gives a remedy, and the remedy is imputed righteousness, justification by faith in Jesus Christ. And then chapter 6 deals with personal conduct. 6, 7, 8. And then 9, 10, 11, he gets into Israel. And then 12, he gets into personal conduct. And in verse 10, he said, "Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another." Whoa, am I reading that right? "In honor, preferring one another." Let's try chapter 15, verse 1. "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. You humbly seek to serve thy neighbor under the hierarchy that you're in." And it changes, it varies in every in different situations. In the Old Testament, you have this man and wife, Abraham and Sarah. Amazing couple. This couple was used by God to be an example to all dispensations. Law, grace, tribulation, millennial. The amazing couple. Now in Genesis 16, verse 2, Sarah gave bad advice to Abraham on the idea of Hagar. And the Lord said to Abraham, "Shouldn't have hearkened unto her. You hearken unto thy wife." Big mistake. And the knuckle dragger would say, see, I'm the head. Well, in chapter 21, verse 12, God told Abraham, "Hearken unto the voice of thy wife." That was about Ishmael. In one case, you shouldn't have. In the other case, you should have. What's the determining factor? Does it agree with Scripture or not? You see? A man who's secure in himself will take the words of truth from any source. And so here's some examples. Seek to be a blessing to others in all circumstances, subjecting yourself to the hierarchy. Okay, when we're out on the street holding a Bible verse sign, public area, public property, everybody's equal. Public property. Okay, somebody comes out there and complains to me, complain all you want. I'm in public property. You know, if a guy comes out with a badge and a costume and says, I can't be there, I'll ask, is it public property? I said, hey, I might remind him he's a public servant. You know, I'm not sure how that goes. We've never really had an issue. I just start asking questions and they leave me alone. Okay, so we're on equal ground. Now, if I'm on equal ground, public property, and a man older than me comes up to me and we start talking, I yield to a different hierarchy. The Bible says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father. Now, our culture, we don't get that. The Oriental culture gets it. The Oriental culture takes it too far where they worship their ancestors. But there's a respect there. In Vietnam, pagan Vietnam, when twins are born, the younger twin will yield to the authority of the older twin. Oh, put that in a family situation. Why? Because the Bible is an Oriental book. And so you recognize that hierarchy. Okay, where the Bible strictly commands, rebuke not an elder. You ever yell at somebody, your parents? You ever yell at them? You rebuke them? You violated Scripture. You entreat them. You yield to them. You ask questions. You see, you maintain the hierarchy. You subject yourself to it. Okay, another idea. There are options where you could subject yourself to in a hierarchy or not. Last week, I went up to Menards, getting ready to walk in. I walk in, they say, hey. And I said, what's that? He said, you got to have a mask. I said, oh, not me. I left. You know, I sent him a letter. I got a contractor's card for Menards, so I sent him a little email. I said, hey, I came in there and you're requiring me to wear a mask? No can do. I'm taking my business to Lowe's until you figure it out. See, that's a voluntary thing. So I walked away from it. I wasn't going to go in and, you know, argue with them and throw a big fit. No, walk away from that. Another thing is maybe your employment. Okay, your employer has certain rules and regulations, and if you want that job, then you comply with the regulations. If you can't comply with them, leave. That's their choice, how they can run it. Okay, the best way to witness to your boss in Titus 2 verse 9 is to do your job and shut your mouth. That's the best way to do it. I tell you, businesses are going to go down because this millennial generation, they don't know how to work. They can't do,
I get 5 likes.
Knuckleheads. Businesses are going down because they can't find people to work. They don't know how to work. Okay, now let's take this into the marriage home. Okay, the continual, we've all heard them, the continual jokes of in-laws. You know, what? Oh, continual. Oh, why? I'll tell you why. It's because the parents of the adult children don't recognize they're equal. And when I go to an adult child's house, I'm under the hierarchy. I'm under them. I don't undercut them under grandkids. I do what mom and dad wants us to do. When we go to our adult children's houses, we serve. When the first time I started doing that with Ash, she's got this lawn care business, lawn mowing business. She said, Dad, I don't want to tell you what to do. I said, you are in charge. You tell me what you want me to do. Well, would you weed whack? I'd be glad to weed whack. Why? That's the subjection. That's the best way to witness to them or to guide them. My days of guidance are done. Unless they ask. You know, I've watched them with their children. And on a couple of occasions, maybe I bite my lip, don't say anything. That's their children. I'm done raising my children. And we've told them, when they're 20, we are equal. We're equal. I was part of a wedding out in Phoenix a while back. And I was asked to give the opening remarks. And I basically was trying to help out the young couple. And basically saying, now a lot of people are talking to the couple, but look at these two. They're looking at each other. They're not listening to me at all. So I'm going to talk to the adults of these children. This is a new family. You're equal footing from now on. No more unsought advice. No more putting your nose in their business. When you go to their house, they're higher than you, the hierarchy, and you subject to their wishes. If you can't do that, then don't go to the house. Miss out on the grandkids. You know, there's one little leeway in their way. We could spoil them a little bit, but not outside of the wishes of, you don't want to make their lives any more difficult. You see, there's a hierarchy. We recognize that. And what you do is you look at people who are your neighbor, people you, and then look at the hierarchy. Where are you at? I'm the fourth born. I am the baby of the family. My wife is a fourth born. Two fourth borns are not supposed to have a good marriage. Okay? But nothing's going to change the fourth born. My siblings look at me as the baby of the family. So how do I treat that? After being here a pastor for 6 months, I pulled my brother aside right outside the door. I said, Ronnie, nothing's changed. I'm still your kid brother. Now, when my family walks in these doors, they got to view me as their pastor, not their brother or son. Why? Because you see people in different roles. Sometimes, you know, you might be surprised. I submit to my wife. I did not do very good at it when she was my piano teacher. I was not her best piano student. I wasn't her worst. I was probably her second worst. But she knows more about music than I do. And so there's a wisdom that she has. There's a hierarchy. My dad taught me that, you know, the things in the house, let her decide where to put them. She'll ask, I don't care where you put it. Where do you want the sofa? I don't care. She puts it in the front door. I'm going to say, well, at least I don't have to walk so far to get to it. Why, that's her domain. I don't give my opinion unless asked. That's a hierarchy, but yet you subject yourself to it. Okay, when you're in this hierarchy, you love your neighbor as yourself. Do you like it when somebody bosses you? Who likes that? You know, and if I get around a bossy individual, you know, and I have a choice in the matter, my nature is to do the opposite. I mean, that's just my nature. I was playing basketball, and this one kid said, he's open over there. I had the ball. I'm the point guard. I run the show. And he said, he's open over there. I held the ball. I said, I see that. He stopped doing that. Why? Because I don't boss people. I am a terrible boss. I don't like telling people what to do. Okay, I like to, here's what we're required to do. You do it. Okay, you mind your business. I'll mind my business. Okay, do you like it when somebody manipulates you, guilt you? After so much I've done for you. Do you know who could say that to us? Can you imagine the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to, after so much I've done for you. Paul said he was meek and gentle. And the Lord's reading the heart. We need to stop trying to get our way. You see, especially when you're on somebody else's property, there's a hierarchy. Okay, stop trying to get your way. Start being a blessing, trying to help them on their way. I remember Charlie's repair shop. It was a shop in Hebron. He had all these funny comics on the wall. And one of them was, everybody brings smiles to this business. Some by staying, some by leaving. And so I want to be somebody that brings smiles to somebody and they don't want you to leave quickly. I'd rather leave before I'm unwanted. But there's a hierarchy. You see, respect is something to be earned. These young people, liberals, you need to respect my opinion. Well, fella, opinions are like armpits. Everybody's got them, and they usually stink. And so that's your choice to have your opinion, and this is one way you deal with a narcissist. When they throw their opinion, you just look at them and say, well, you're right to your opinion, and I have a right not to believe it. We were up in Michigan, Waleed Shuabat, he was a former Muslim that got saved, and we went up to one of the Michigan universities where he would present, and after he got done, one of these college kids, so intelligent, said to Waleed, you have offended me. Waleed came back and said, you have a right to be offended. I have a right not to care. That's exactly the way it is. And so, the last thought is this. The Lord Jesus Christ takes the mistreatments of others personally. Especially when it's his kids. Okay, if there's a park and some kids were, you know, a couple kids get a knockdown, drag out fight. You know, if I see it, I might stop and, you know, enjoy it. You know, put a wager down on who's going to win or not. Okay, but if I see it's my kid, I'm going to take a real interest. And God's no different. We were down there at Rensselaer softball one year, several years ago, long time ago, so it's beyond statute of limitations. And so we were down there, there's this young punk, 9-year-old kid, just a brat. I mean, capital B, capital R, A, T, brat. Just being a general nuisance to the whole men's softball league. And our ball went over, and we asked him kindly to throw it, and he threw it some other direction. And Brent was probably about 12. I said, Brent, I got a job for you. And he was pretty annoyed with the kid, too. And I said, you know what he needs. He went over and threw him down. Pow, pow. I said, okay, that's good enough. That's good enough. That's what the kid needed. His parents didn't do anything like that to train the child. So he needed somebody. I couldn't do it. I'd probably still be in jail for it. But I can admit this now, it's beyond statute of limitations, and so that's what the kid needed. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ takes the mistreatment of his children personal. In Matthew 18, verse 16, the only time Jesus mentioned a death sentence. And his style was a mafia style. When you offend a little child, it is better for you to be thrown in the depth, a millstone wrapped around you, thrown in the depths of it. That's where the mafia came up with that idea. Here's some bricks. Try swimming, pal. That's how Jesus Christ views the offense of children. Instead of a priest moving them from one place to the next, and then the next, Jesus Christ said they need to be thrown in the depths of the sea. And then when Saul, when he got saved, you know what the Lord said to him? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He takes it personal. When his children are persecuted, when his children are mistreated, he takes it personal. When I was out in Colorado, you know, running a bus route, go every Saturday to visit these families, and some of these, you'd hear the yelling, the screaming. What is that? Bullies? Gentiles think that's how it works. It don't have to be that way. You see, I taught our children, I say one time, come here. I don't have to yell. You hear me? Come here. That means first time. And they come. And when Waleed Zubat was at our house, he kind of thought we were a little bit Amish. And it's late at night, we're talking, and I said, okay, everybody go to bed. And everybody jumps up and go right to bed. And he goes, wow. How'd that happen? Why? It's because there's a respect, there's a hierarchy, there's a love, there's an enjoyment, there's a training, there's a concern, there's a care. This is so important with God that at the end of the tribulation, there's a judgment called the judgment of the nations. After the Lord goes through Armageddon, has the last big bang, here's what happened. The Lord sets a throne up in the valley of Jehoshaphat. He is going to be the king. He's going to be a judge. He's going to bring all Germans in front of him, and he's going to say, okay, you sheep, you're goats. He's going to bring all the Dutch in front of him, like Corrie ten Boom. He said, okay, you sheep, okay, and all you're goats. He's going to bring all the Italians, all these nations, and he's going to divide them, sheep from goats. And when he's done, he's going to say, you goats, go to hell. And they're going to go right into hell. You sheep, he said, because you treated my righteous, you concerned for my righteous in the tribulation, you get to go into the millennium. That's what that judgment's for. Now, liberals try to take that judgment and guilt us that we have to be nice to them and let them get their way because that's how God is going to judge you. No, he's not. That judgment is for the end of the tribulation. It is based upon how people treat the righteous of the tribulation, and they get to go into the millennium. Why? Because Jesus Christ takes the mistreatment of his children personally. And then we show our love for our God. If we love our God supremely, then hopefully our love for our God will be manifested in our love for our neighbor. How do we do that? We love them in the role that they see us. In the hierarchy, we subject ourselves to the hierarchy. And if a man's not willing to do that, then he's not willing to humble himself like Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so that's how we do it. That's how we love thy neighbor as thyself. We recognize the hierarchy. We subject ourselves to it. You may be up here in a hierarchy in one role, but in a different role, you may be like this, with the same party. And when you recognize that, then you can be a blessing all around. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us recognize this thought, this idea. The Lord Jesus said that the Gentiles rule by lordship. Okay, and Lord, we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to be examples and serve. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to recognize that when us older folks, that when our children become adult children, 19, 20, American culture's 18, Bible's 19, 20, that they now have become an equal. And that we can be a blessing to them. And Lord, I pray you'd help us recognize this, that we can be blessings to others. Love thy neighbor as thyself within the hierarchy that we find ourselves in. Lord, help us to recognize this and be wise about it. Well, heads bowed and eyes are closed. The piano plays. If you'd like to use the altar, it's open for you. A person could bully and have the right behavior, but the relationship is strained because it wasn't done voluntarily. And so the Lord is showing us a different approach, that we earn respect and that we also humble ourselves under the hierarchy to be a blessing to others. Lord, I thank you for your example. You said you're meek and lowly in heart. Oh, amazing, amazing. You won't be at the second coming, but you were at the first coming. Lord, I pray you'd help us to follow your example and love you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.